Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Daniel chapter 11. We started this chapter 3 weeks ago tonight. We had a week off for Awana, and then Adam had prayer meeting last week. And so let me just give you a quick reminder of what we covered in 3 weeks ago in the first part of Daniel chapter 11. It says there in verse 1 that this, what Daniel's going to write about here in chapter 11, that it came to him in the first year of Darius the Mede. That was the same time that was Daniel chapter 6 occurred. So it was about that time that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And in verse 2, it talks about the kings of Persia. There's going to be three more kings, and then the fourth is going to be far richer than they all, and he'll stir up all against the Grecians. That fourth king was Xerxes. He's the one that led the Persians to invade Greece and was defeated. He goes by another name. We know him as Ahasuerus, the king that is in power when Esther is made queen of Persia. In verse 3, it talks about a mighty king. That was Alexander the Great, who defeated Persia and assumed the world, the rule of the world. In verse 4, it talks about Alexander, that great king, dying. He died an alcoholic. History tells us that he conquered the world and then came home and wept and began to drink because there were no more worlds to conquer, no more nations to conquer, and died an alcoholic. His posterity did not take over. His generals took over. They divided the kingdom into four geographical areas: Macedonia, Asia Minor, Syria, and Egypt. Syria was in the north. Egypt was in the south. And 3 weeks ago, we thought about all the wars that went on between those two kingdoms. Of course, Israel was in the middle of Syria and Egypt. And as these two kingdoms fought, the Jews were right in the middle of it. Many of the battles happened on Jewish land. Many Jews were killed as a result of that. And again, 3 weeks ago, we talked about all the wars that these two nations fought and the times they tried to make peace. And I mentioned to you about one of the kings giving his daughter to another king who had to divorce his wife to marry her, and then he killed that wife and remarried his first wife, and then the brother of the second wife came back and killed him, and just a mess. And the Jews were in the middle of all that. And 3 weeks ago, we ended in verse 17, where Antiochus the Great defeats Egypt. He made a treaty. So he was from Syria, from the north. He made a treaty with them. He gave his daughter Cleopatra to the king that was in Egypt at that particular time. And so we start in verse 18 tonight. In fact, I want to read verses 18 through 20 of Daniel chapter 11 to get us started tonight, where the Bible says, "After this shall he turn his face." And by the way, let me remind you, chapter 10, 11, and 12 are prophecy of the time between Nebuchadnezzar and the Roman Empire. And then the last part of the prophecy jumps forward to the time of the Antichrist. And so the last part of chapter 11 and some of chapter 12 deals with the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, the great tribulation and the Antichrist. But starting in verse 18 tonight, "After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, and he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle." So in verse 18 there, the isle is the isle of, it's talking about Greece. The one that's going to turn his face toward Greece is the king that we read about in verse 17, Antiochus the Great. Again, he was a Persian. He began to move toward Greece. It said, and there, it said, when it talks about a prince on his own behalf, that refers to the kingdom of Rome. They were beginning to be established at this time, and they began to collect taxes from the Syrians at this time. And it was actually the Romans that defeated and killed in battle Antiochus the Great. Now, in verse 21, and in his estate, in other words, the one that was going to replace Antiochus the Great, shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Okay, so Antiochus the Great dies. The Romans kill him. His replacement is Antiochus Epiphanes. Okay, he came to the throne in 175 B.C. And again, everything that Daniel talks about in these chapters is so precise from a historical standpoint that many people that don't believe the Bible say that this part of Daniel must have been written after all this happened because it's too right. It's too precise. And they don't understand that God knows what's going to happen precisely. It's not that he knows what, you know, in a general sense about what's going to happen. He knows very precisely what's going to happen. He knows very precisely what's going to happen in our lives. He knows, I mean, the plan that he has for life. I talk about it all the time. God has a plan for our life. It's not a plan in general. It's a precise plan. I mean, if we seek his will and walk in his will, he's got some pretty detailed, precise plans for our life. You say, well, preacher, I don't always stay in his will. Well, he's always got plan B and plan C and plan D. There's no surprises to God. He's always ready. He knows what's going to happen. And so Antiochus Epiphanes came to the throne in 175 B.C. He's called vile there in verse 21 because of the blasphemy that he worked against God. The next few verses down through verse 35 describe him, okay? But they also are a preview of the Antichrist, okay? They also picture what's going to happen in the 70th week of Daniel in the time of the Great Tribulation when the Antichrist is going to rise up. And so the things that we're going to say about Antiochus Epiphanes can also be said about the Antichrist who's going to come in the last days, the man of sin that the Bible talks about. Now, it says there in verse 21 that he came in peaceably. That's the way the Antichrist is going to come in, offering to make peace for the world. He obtains the kingdom by flatteries. That's the way the Antichrist is going to come in. Okay, so let's look at verse 22. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. when it talks about the prince of the covenant there, it's talking about a high priest that he came into Israel and took out of office and slaughtered and killed. And he'll come in and he'll spread the wealth around. That's what it says. He'll do things his father and his father's father did not do. He'll take the spoil of the battles that he'll win in different places and spread it among his people to gain favor with the people. Verse 25, and he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south, against Egypt, and with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Verse 26, yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. Now, again, these verses describe a battle that this Antiochus Epiphanes had against the king of Egypt. He defeated Egypt. He defeated the king of Egypt. And that victory brought him not only a lot of riches, but a lot of prestige. And so he gathers the kings around him, and they sit down at one table, supposedly to make peace, but they lie to one another. It's a table of lies. At the time appointed, verse 29, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the later, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and returned and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. So he fights Egypt again. He's not as successful as he is the first time, because the ships of Chittim, which is the Roman navy, come against him and defeats him. After that defeat, this king of the north breaks his covenant with Israel, and he comes against the people of God. In verse 31, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. So this king of the north, after he's defeated in Egypt, comes against the Jews. He attacks Jerusalem in 170 BC. Over 100,000 Jews are killed in that attack. Verse 31 says that he takes away the daily sacrifice from the temple, the daily sacrifice of lambs that are made, one in the morning and one at evening, that's made in the temple. In its place, and this is why they call him vile, because of the blasphemies he works against God, in the place of the blood of the lambs, he offers the blood of swine upon the altar. And in the Holy of Holies, he sets up the image of Jupiter so that people will worship it. Now, in verse 31 there, where it says, the abomination that make desolate, again, it's describing what this man did, but it's not the abomination that maketh desolate that Jesus referred to in Matthew chapter 24 or Mark chapter 13. Jesus is not referring to something that happened in the past. He's referring to something that's going to happen in the future. Because in the same way that this Persian desecrated the temple of God, so shall the Antichrist, who will come in with a message of peace, will gain his power by flattery, who will gain his power by spreading the wealth of the world to his subjects. Halfway through, he's going to turn against God. He's going to desecrate the temple. He's going to set up an idol, the abomination that maketh desolate. And that's what Jesus was talking, or that's what Daniel was talking about there at the end of verse 31. Again, so he's talking about what's going to happen in the time of this king, this vile king, but he's also picturing what's going to happen in the last days. And so it's a prophecy of what's going to happen to the Jews before Jesus comes, and then Jesus talks about it as what's going to happen in the last days. Let's look at one more verse before we quit. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Some of the Jews are going to be turned to follow, as it was in this case, as it will be in the last days. Some of the Jews will turn and worship this idol that's set up in the Holy of Holies. They'll turn away from their God. But there will be a remnant. There will be a people that know their God, that know their God wants them to stand against this blasphemy, that know their God, even if they lose their life by this stand, knows their God will reward their faithfulness. And so this is the time that the people that are strong, that knew their God and were strong and did exploits. From history, we know that Daniel's talking about the Maccabees. In 166 B.C., there was a priest called Matthias who raised up a revolt against this king that desecrated the temple. They called him Maccabee, the hammer. And he led a revolt, and he led the people of God to stand against the desecration that this Persian king was doing in the temple. Now, we're out of time tonight, and so we'll pick up next week. But again, we look at what has happened in the past and how it was foretold by God through Daniel, and again, so precisely that some people think that this portion of Daniel was written after the fact because it's too right. All the details are right. Well, we know that we got a God that knows the details. And we know that what God tells us is going to happen. And so again, we look back to the past to look to the future. Because what God tells us is going to happen in the future is just as sure, for sure, going to happen as what's happened in the past that he told Daniel hundreds of years before it happened was going to happen. And so tonight, let's be encouraged. We've read the end of the book. We know what's going to happen. The world may be falling apart, but we got a God that's still in charge, and we know how it's going to come out. Let's be faithful to him. Let's get ready. Let's help others to get ready. He's going to come back at any moment. The trumpet is going to sound, and we're going to hear that cry, "Come up hither," and dead's going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be, will rise up with him in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's get ready, and let's make sure those around us are ready as well. Thanks for being here tonight. Men will be praying. Ladies will be praying. If you'd like to join either of those groups, please do that. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.